Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Today we're in John chapter 5, where we read this beautiful story of what is commonly called the healing of the impotent man. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus says unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. I'm stopping here for the first part of my sermon, and then later on we go to the second part of my message. First, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on this beautiful passage of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to call my sermon today, Healing and Holiness. Healing and Holiness. For background information, let us first ask, where did Jesus come from when he did this miracle here in Jerusalem? The answer is found in the preceding verse of the preceding chapter, which says, this again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So Jesus came from Galilee to Jerusalem to do this miracle. Up to this point, Jesus had done two miracles in the province of Galilee, and both were done in the same city called Cana. The first was Jesus changing water into wine, and the second one was the healing of the nobleman's son. Now, when Jesus comes to you, you always get more than you ask for. The people at the wedding of Cana certainly got a lot more than they asked Jesus for, because they didn't only get Jesus' presence, and what could be better than that, but on top of that, they got the best wine that was ever tasted by human lips in all of history. So it was true with the nobleman in the second miracle at Cana. The nobleman went up to Cana to see Jesus, and he asked him to come down to a city of Capernaum to lay his hands upon his son to be healed. But no, he also got more than he asked for. For Jesus says, I don't have to lay my hands on this son, just go home, he's already healed. He got more than he asked for. And then when he got home, he even got more than that, because as he arrived in his house, he found out that his whole house had become believers. He asked for healing for his son, he got healing for his son, and his whole family was saved. Friend, Jesus didn't come just to forgive you, but he has a lot more for you than just forgiveness. Jesus always outloves us, outgives us, outmercies us, outforgives us, and outpowers us, and outsurprises us. You really have to believe in the devil when you consider how many people have allowed themselves to be blinded to think that once you come to Jesus, you are a loser. No, you are a winner. So here Jesus takes a 3-day journey from the north, from Galilee, down to Jerusalem, in order to go to this feast we read about in Jerusalem. Most scholars believe this was probably the Feast of Pentecost. In Israel, in those days, all men had to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year to offer sacrifices unto the Lord, and this was one of those times. So Jesus and his disciples, who were presumably with him, they came to Jerusalem, and it was time now to turn left to get into the temple area, and Jesus made a sudden turn to the right. I've been there 18 times, and I can just see the disciples saying, Lord, where are we going? What's going on here? You know, when you begin to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you'll be going to a lot of places, and you'll be doing a lot of things causing people to ask, what are you doing this for, or where are you going? So here they had to go through and buy the sheep market. The sheep market was close to the temple area, because this is where all the sacrifices came from. Here are thousands of sheep who kind of let go, if you know what I mean, and the smell and what you're stepping on and the bleeding of thousands of sheep was all about them. Friend, it's just like going to the big stock market in Kansas City where hundreds of thousands of cattle are slaughtered most every day. When you walk with God, when you follow Jesus, you're going to go to a lot of places where it doesn't smell very good, where it's not easy to walk, and where you're going to hear things you'd rather not hear. Next to the sheep market, there was a pool called the Pool of Bethesda, the Pool of Five Porches. Archaeologists have dug deeper and deeper down in this area, and they actually have unearthed these five porches, and you can go to Jerusalem today and see them. They're still there. In this place, at this pool, there were many, many people. It says, there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The Bible says, not a multitude, but it says a great multitude. And all of those people who were there had serious physical problems. So I would call this the pool of misery. All the sick here had lost hope in modern medicine of that day. Most of them ended up at this pool waiting for the stirring of the waters, which happened once in a while. Now, if you have a King James Bible, as I have, verse 4 here gives a reason for the stirring of the waters and for the healing. It says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever that first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, I need to tell you, dear ones, that the King James Bible was based on manuscripts hundreds of years after the life of Christ. Since the King James Bible was published in about 1611, older manuscripts from the first century have been found which do not include this fourth verse about the angel coming down into the pool. So you can forget about verse 4 and you can forget about the angel. As a matter of fact, many Bibles today do not include verse 4 at all, but they go right from verse 3 to verse 5. What happened here most likely was that this was a healing pool, as we have them in various parts of the world. And we know that it was fed by springs, and occasionally probably the pressure would build up and a certain concentration of chemicals were released and were bursting into the pool, and some people that got in then experienced a healing. The people that were here were people who had lost hope. They had lost hope, my friend. They had lost their resources. They were sort of gambling, trying to get into the water at the right time with a prospect of being healed. It was kind of a Las Vegas of that day, people trying their luck. Or it was like slot machines you have on riverboats, people gambling. So the pool of Bethesda was a pool of misery. It was a pool of the destitute. But that was not all it was. It was also a pool of mercilessness. There was misery and there was no mercy. Everyone there was selfish. Everyone only thought about their own healing and their own misery and their own hurt and pain and loss. It was a pool where everyone had turned inward. Everyone thought he was the most deserving of deliverance. Never mind what other people's problems were, how serious they were. I'm here for my problem. That was the attitude. And when the water was stirred, there was a pushing and a shoving and a yelling, for each one sought the blessing for himself. Now, what marvels me here is that Jesus was led by the Spirit to the stinking, filthy place of misery. He was already on earth. He had already left the glory and splendor and purity of heaven to come to this filthy earth where all men's righteousness is as filthy rags. But why on top of that is he going to this very cesspool of the filth of humanity, the pool of Bethesda? The pool of misery, the pool of the poor, the pool of the selfish, the pool of this awful smell of sheep manure and the bleeding of the sheep. Oh, my friend, what a place this was. What do you think the sanitary conditions were at this particular place? What do you think the toilets were like, if there were any? And who was there to bind up the wounds, the open wounds, and to dress them of the many who were lying there? Who was there to bring them fresh water and food? And now our text continues. There was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. We're now moving away from the multitude to focus on one man, which leads me to say this: for God, for Jesus, there are no multitudes. We see multitudes. Jesus never sees a multitude. Jesus only sees individuals in their own individual, personal need, misery, and brokenness. It says Jesus saw a certain man. Friend, wherever you are now, Jesus is seeing you. His eyes are focused on you. As if you were the only individual in the world, he knows all about your troubles, your heartaches, and your disappointments. And so he saw this man who had never had a good day in 38 years. It says Jesus saw him lying there, and that he knew he had been there a long time. This man, my friend, was lying on the couch, on the floor, for 38 years. But praise the Lord, there was this day. Our scripture says that Jesus saw him lying. I can feel it in my bones. The day of mercy finally came to this man at the pool of misery. Oh, my friend, mercy came to the stable in Bethlehem. Mercy went through Samaria. Mercy went to Cana. Mercy is now at this pool of Bethesda. And with mercy comes love. And with love comes compassion. And with compassion comes help. I'm thrilled about this. Didn't the prophet Isaiah say, "They that are in darkness have seen a great light"? Perhaps for the first time in 38 years, there came a man under this impotent man who cared. Let me ask you, how long have you been without care? How long have you been without love? Has it been a week? Has it been a month? Has it been a year? Has it been 5? Has it been 38 years? Well, I need to hurry on. Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you know what the man said? He just simply responded, "I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, and never steppest down before me." He says, "I have no man. I have no father. I have no mother. I have no brother. I have no sister. I have no sons. I have no daughters. I have no friends who care. I have no one who cares for me." If you are such a one who does not have any human being who cares for you, you now know you have one who cares for you. His name is Jesus the Christ. He cares for you. He loves you. He has mercy. And he has a way for you. He knows all about you. Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and he walked. Oh, glory to God, friends. This man did not need the pool anymore. He did not need the stirring of the waters anymore. He did not need luck anymore. He now had Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have all you need. You no longer need luck. You no longer need slot machines. You no longer need to gamble. For the Bible says God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the first part of my message from this text. And I thought I'd get in the second part, but no, we just have the first part today. The next part, my friend, will be the healing part. For Jesus said to him later on, "Go and sin no more." I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.